Hi, you little pumpkins. Thank you so much for jumping across and checking out the podcast. If this is my one wish, if there's one podcast, one episode podcast that you could watch, it would be this one with Shan. Now, me and Shan haven't seen each other in like 2 years. It is very special to me. We cover a lot of stuff, a lot of personal things, and you get to see kind of under the bonnet, and I expose myself a little bit on this episode. We are dropping 2 episodes today, but if you could watch this one, it would mean the absolute most to me. Shan is amazing. If you really want to check her out, her links will be down in the description or wherever else you can find them. But this episode is huge. It means a lot. So make sure you check it out and please leave us a thumbs up and 5-star rating. And I hope you enjoy it. Let us know who else you want to see on this beautiful podcast because we are here to make your ears tingle with the magic of our beautiful voices. But yeah, check it out. It's a really good one. Wow. Okay. Today's a big episode. Today, I'm so excited. I've been pacing my kitchen all day, pacing my apartment. I've been thinking about this for weeks.
You text me at 7:30 in the morning.
I was so excited. This is how much I've been thinking about talking about, like, getting you on a podcast. When I was dating one of my exes, Julia, she has a podcast. I was like, please, I was sending her your account. I was like, please just get her in. I want to see what she has to say. Like, she's going to be really good. I think she messaged you, but she's just like, I don't know if we can tee it up. And I'm like, okay, I need a podcast. And they're like the second guest on, I think.
Unless did you make this podcast that we could have a conversation?
Yes.
That's weird. I'm creeped out and I want to leave. That's awesome.
So yeah, I've been like so excited, so hyped about it. Even my day manager, Farah, she's just like, oh, I'm so excited for you. You guys have so much history. It's been like 2 years. We'll just say like 2 years. We saw each other for like a split second. I remember when we walked down on the show and everyone's like, oh my God, there's a new contestant. Like,
it was, that's hilarious.
That's what Bryce was saying. And I was like, no way. And you're just like, here's some rope. I'm like, this new contestant's freaky. Like, oh my God. But
anyway, and bossy.
I need to give you a proper intro. So you are an author, you're a sexologist,
yes,
psychologist. Yeah. Is that correct?
I'm not a psychologist. I have a psychology background.
Right.
Yeah.
And the person that helped me and Francesca's relationship, and your mother, which is the most important part. And did I say author?
You did say author.
Well, I'm saying
please
it
said
twice.
Author.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm popping out the cake now.
That's a good intro.
So you just had a kid. What's that like?
It's pretty awesome.
Really?
Yeah. It's all the cliche things that you want to punch yourself for saying.
Really?
That's exactly what having a kid is like. It's the most magical thing I've ever experienced before. But
wow.
I got an awesome opportunity to meet you when you were just a kid.
Yeah.
So I feel like now I watch you and you've blossomed and grown. So I just want to say congratulations.
I'm not worse than before.
No, you're killing it. You are killing it. I had no idea when we met in Mexico that show would be what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew what it would be what it was.
No idea. Yeah.
I thought it was such, to be honest with you, because I work as a public-facing sex educator and I work on a lot of shows. And so this morning when you messaged me, I was on Dr. Oz.
Yeah.
So when I got flown in for that show, one, they like didn't have anyone pick me up at the airport. I got to the hotel. They had no reservation for me. I was like, what's my workshop? They didn't know. It was so crazy disorganized.
No way.
Because they were just figuring it out and feeling it out based on all of you. Like you were really in control on Too Hot to Handle. And so when I left there, I'm like, this is going to be the most disorganized, stupid show. Fast forward, it's the biggest show.
I had no idea. Because when we were there, like as you know, like it was very, very confusing and we didn't know. I think that was the first workshop. No, the second one, because the first one didn't get aired and because it was like hyper-sexualized because they're trying to get us like all horny. But I remember like...
and they were like, nah, that's all good. Can't do that.
They're like, oh, we can't do this because people like deep-throated bananas and I like ate an orange out of like Rhonda's undies and I'm like, oh, this was bad. Like it was straight
up. Was that like a Lana-led workshop where they had someone come in?
No, that was just like, hey, what can you do with this banana?
You're like, how much time we got?
Yeah, I was like, okay, Rhonda. She went crazy on that banana. But anyway, but that's the craziest thing is you came in just as me and Francesca had like this big fight and I'm a stubborn piece of shit and she's quite stubborn as well. And I knew that we were never going to talk to each other again. But that thing, that little Shibaru, is that?
Shibari.
Very close. So I remember that just completely mended everything, even though she was like choking me out. But that was like, I look back at the whole show and I was like, that was like the pivotal moment. Because I remember saying to one of the producers, I was like, I don't want to be here if I can't be with her. I was so infatuated by it. I'm like, look, like she's going to go for another dude. That's fine. But
I just know where my heart's at. And then you came in and just absolutely just made everything happen, which was amazing. But I want to talk about like your job and like sexologist. What is that? How do I do that?
Okay.
How do I become one of them?
I would refer to a sexologist as somebody who studies the science of psychology as it relates to biology, sociology, psychology, criminology even.
I have no idea what these words
mean. So, you know all the words. In short, a sexologist is to sex what a nutritionist is to food.
Yes. Nice.
So it's the study of sex. Yeah. And sort of the nutritionist is the study of food.
Wow.
It's interesting to note that because a lot of people think sexology is to sex what a chef is to food. So I'm probably not as good with a banana as Rhonda is, for example. Wish I was, but we all have our talents and skills.
That's
and
awesome.
So I was invited to come on the show because I fashion myself as somebody who wants to get the average person excited about their sex life without any notion that they probably should research, take some time, put their intellectual property behind this. Mm. I wanted to empower more people. And so that was the perfect in. And what you all did with that show and how far you took it and the conversations that Too Hot to Handle started, like that is why I started my career. So I was so grateful to be a part of it.
That's crazy. Yeah, because I honestly have like a lot of, and I'm nowhere near anywhere qualified with this stuff, but I have like a lot of guys like ask me about like what I do. And that's kind of like half of the reason why we started this podcast.
Like what you do?
Like in the bedroom.
Like what you be doing?
Yeah. Well, like in that sense, because like I know like a lot of young men don't really know what to do, or they like, I know that at that point on the show that I was seeing sex as a sport, like get in, get out, like as quick as possible, who can rack up the most numbers, like as the boys, like I was legit like.
I want to ask, can I ask you some questions first?
Yeah, go.
So you went on this show.
Oh God. Actually, no.
Because I think I was so fascinated by that because it's the dichotomy that you experience where you were super sexualized. Mm-hmm. You go on this show that's all about completely erasing everything you thought you knew about sex to recreate a more spiritual, fuller connection to sex. And then you get thrust into the spotlight where sex is probably thrown in your face constantly. Mm. So where did you land after all of this jumping around?
Honestly, that's a great question. Like with Francesca and that whole experience, I went home and I realized that there was nothing better than having your person, having love, thinking about them every second of the day. Like I'm like, this type of stuff wasn't on camera and didn't get put on the show, but every morning I'd wake up and I'd be like, here, like I'm getting you a coffee, I'm getting you food, like I'd bring it in bed. My whole day, every thought was about this woman and what I could do to like make her life better. And I'd always text her, I'd be like, tell me if I'm ever wrong, like I want to be the best me so I can be the best me
on
for you.
On the retreat or after the retreat?
After the retreat. So it made me like take a step back and go like, yo, like I'm actually treating people horribly. Like I'm being a horrible person. I'm number one, every time I have sex with someone, it's an energy transfer. Like I'm giving them a piece of me, they give me a piece of them. And I was just being pretty much like a fuckboy. I was being horrible. But after being on that show, I was like, wow, this is exactly what I need. Like this type of person, this type of love, and to have, you know, wake up in the morning and just feel nothing but like love and like warmth in my heart and stomach. So that whole, it flipped the switch for me.
And it feels good to know that you're a good person.
Whoa. Question, ask Francesca. She thinks I'm terrible.
Really?
Yeah, we don't talk. We had lawyers go back and forth, like cease and desist. Like it was kind of crazy. But honestly, like I've been thinking about it a lot, like the past week. For some reason, she's been in my mind like every single day. And I was just thinking it back, like I'm reflecting, because it's like coming up like a year since the show aired. And like just thinking about like how good that feeling was to have her and like have that person, and how love was. And now I realize like I'm starting to tap more into my spiritual side of not only being in the bedroom but around my house. Like I bought a whole bunch of organ pyramids. I'm laying in the sun, like I'm manifesting.
You do look quite tanned.
Really?
Yes.
I'm usually like red and like nervous. But yeah, it really just pushed me towards that, taking that next step and like maturing as a human, because I knew like at that point in time I was such a little boy and like just I don't know why this turned into a therapy session.
No, I'm curious though. Like, I guess, so how did it go from I was a fuck boy.
Yeah.
I went on the show. It taught me the importance and the value of giving my all to somebody and how awesome that could make my life and how I could make someone else's life awesome. Yeah. And then now I have a cease and desist towards this person who I experience those feelings with.
It's bizarre. Like, it is actually like,
because I thought about that for all of you, because you, in one way, you had this experience that I think was genuine. Mm. And I spoke with Chloe afterwards and with Rhonda afterwards, and I genuinely felt like everybody got something. And even just how Chloe has rebranded herself now to being this like female empowerment person who's all about protecting your yoni and being,
it's gorgeous.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you're put in this position now where I'm sure you've gotten more punani thrown at you than ever before in your life.
It's crazy.
It was weird because it's like they reformed you and then were like, and now have the world of options because you're famous and access is yours.
It's bizarre. So once I finished filming the show and things didn't end well with Francesca, I first moved to LA. I went celibate for 4.5 months. Like, I was so focused on, number one, my mind wasn't right. Like, I just wanted to drink and get fucked up. And like, I just wasn't myself and I wasn't looking good and I wasn't feeling good because I was very like torn about what was going on. There was like a whole bunch of like family stuff as well. So I took that 4.5 months to, number one, focus on business, focus on getting myself right and then getting my body right. And then at that point, I texted Francesca again. I'm like, hey, like, I would love to see you. But it was just so horrible after the breakup the first time that when I saw her again, I don't know, like, I just didn't have that feeling in my stomach. And I was like, maybe I need to take a moment to try and rebuild this or try and like work hard to like make it happen. But it wasn't coming back because I was so damaged. But I don't know what, I don't know how that all came about. Like, I don't know how that feeling like left. Or I think we're just, the relationship was just very toxic and we're both like very, very stubborn. But fast forward,
Was the relationship toxic or there was a toxic season? Because it sounds like you guys had this beautiful connection at one point that brought out the best in you.
I think it was the right person, wrong time, in all honesty. Like, looking at myself back on the show, like, I was very like immature and like giddy and like a child. And now, like, I was 21, I think. Now I'm like about to turn 24.
Big man things,
eh? Yeah, I'm growing up. Like, I'm doing my thing. And it's very interesting seeing like the type of people's reaction, especially, you know, like women or men towards like some sort of like fame or like following, and how they, you know, like instantly want to like throw their bodies at you or like be a part of that. Like, now I've been really like monitoring like who I let in my life, because the last girl I was seeing, she came with like so much luggage, like her ex put $500,000 on her head to like have her place like ran through by like robbers and stuff like that. And that, for me, it was
could you say that sentence just clean?
Yeah.
As if that's not really really loaded.
It was like legit bizarre. And I'm like, I'm trying to be here for you and be that person.
Did you say $500,000 on her head?
Yeah, this dude's worth like $2.2 billion.
Is this the same girl that keyed your car?
Yeah. She keyed my car.
Okay.
Yeah. So we don't need to worry. I've also been like trying to like protect my energy, and that's why I kind of wanted to ask you, like, do you believe in like energy transfers from like one person to another, and like how important that is to just limit yourself to people that you feel like a light for you or a good energy? Because I found that like a lot of one night stands and hooking up like that, you just don't feel good after it, and you don't feel amazing.
I believe that whatever you think is true is true.
Okay.
So if you think that you're leaving a piece of yourself with every individual, you absolutely are.
Yeah.
If you're in a different space where you acknowledge that sex can be transactional if it's done ethically, if both people are clear about what they're bringing into the situation and leaving with nothing more than what they came in, e.g. you're being safe and there's no exchange of bodily fluids that leads to a pregnancy or an STD, then it can be just that. So if you're somebody who doesn't believe in soul ties and you maneuver in a very clear, communicative way with people, I think that you can and leave a one night stand feeling great, amazing, with no baggage, nothing else. This was awesome. You Perfect. Came, I came, great.
Yeah.
But if, however, you do look at it as an energetic exchange and you are looking for something more out of sex, then every experience you do have is going to dim your light a little bit. It's going to take something from you and it's going to take a toll on you overall.
Yeah.
So I believe if you think that, then it is absolutely true.
Yeah, for sure. And in the bedroom, let's dive in the deep end. For a young person, I found that like when I was on the show, I didn't really, like when I was with Francesca or like previously, I didn't really know what I was doing, and I didn't really exercise my patience in the bedroom.
I want to know what that means. It means the person never came? Is that what you're trying telling me now?
In a sense, like...
I was coming in 30 seconds.
No, legit. Like, putting it in, shaking and sweating. Like, come on. Come on, Francesca. Please. I legit was shocking. Like, I was bad. I remember once the cameras went down at the end of the show and we put it in, I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, quick, get out. Like, stop. Yeah. It's bad. But no, I mean, in a sense, like, as a young man... When we get in their bedroom, when things start to get hot and heavy, we're just trying to stick it in like right away.
Yes.
What is a way or like a tip for say maybe a woman or a young man that is trying to like make that process a little bit like longer, a little bit more like exercise that patience instead of just like trying to jam it in?
You know what's such a great point that you're making is the word young is so integral to that because so much of our actions about sex are just from programming. If you're not given education, you can't override your programming.
Yeah.
So think about it in terms of like 5,000 years ago. Mm. If you're trying to have sex in the woods and there's like a saber-toothed tiger like chasing after you, you don't have time for foreplay. You got to stick it in, shake in 3 seconds and get going, right?
Perfect.
Yeah, there's no time for that long and slow sex. And so it's actually... not instinctual for us to engage in slower, more sensual sex. As you get older and as you learn through experience, learn through mistakes, that's where people the word might is very important there, start to change repertoire. So I feel like that a lot of the mistakes young people make, you have to give yourself grace because you've never probably been educated before.
Yeah.
So I think knowing why you do what you do, why you have certain urges is important to help you override them. Kind of like when nutrition. When you're trying to learn how to treat your body well, you have to learn about your unhealthy urges and why those urges exist, because that makes it easier to manage. So I think if you acknowledge that, then you're like, okay, I'm not being chased by a tiger. Yeah. I have time. The orgasm is actually going to be better if it takes longer. And so we have the luxury and the privilege of allowing this to unfold in a more sensual, slow, and ultimately pleasurable way.
Yeah. Wow. And as a young man, what is... a way to make my girl or my partner feel a little bit more comfortable. Something that I like to do is...
Drop them gems, Harry.
Yeah. Well, I always like make sure they have their socks on, their feet are warm. Because I'm like...
Oh my goodness.
Because I want them to be like comfortable.
Yeah.
And I know like when we have a missionary, like I always hold their head up. Like I want them to feel like warm and like I'm here and like cradling them. But...
So if they have socks on, that means you're not a foot fetish person. You don't want to, at some point, get all in between the toes. Do a little figure eight.
Not my cup of tea. Do you like your toes to be played with?
Sure. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't say no to that. Yeah. No.
I'll try everything once. I've had one foot job, and I was more so curious. I'm like, I don't know. It feels good, but I'm like, what's going on here? I'm not freaked out by it, but I'm more so like... I just want them to feel comfortable because sometimes when your feet are cold, you feel cold.
Do you mean
cold.
A foot job where you put your penis between someone's feet that were lubed up?
Well, I was trying to find a condom and she's just like, yeah, it just started beating me up. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was like,
did it work?
It was more, I was like young and I was just like, hey, like, so I don't want to nut right away. I'm trying to have sex with you. Like,
yeah.
Let's take it.
Well, foot sex is sex.
Ah, well, all right, well. There we go. I fucked her twice. But no, back to the point. I feel like it would be good to hear from your perspective. Like I know that often like a lot of women are a little bit nervous about like coming, and I've been with girls and they're about to like squirt or something and they just push me off or like pull me away. What is a way to for like either me saying something or like actions that make them feel like a little bit more comfortable in that situation?
It's very difficult to try to educate somebody else on their body. True. So empowering that person to get to know themselves and what works for them, and then watching educational stuff together, sending them videos they can watch on their own so that they know themselves and they can communicate that to you. Because me telling you to like relax and feel something, if I'm like not feeling it, it puts me in an awkward position.
Shannon Harry said, relax.
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 Relax. You like this. You like this. Do I? Yeah. I don't know. I have to pee. I'm not sure. But when you know your own body, when those feelings come about, you're like, okay, I understand. This, I know what I should do next, what my options are. I feel like being great at sex is not dissimilar from being great at art. Yeah. And being great at art doesn't mean just like feeling the painting. Like you have to have some kind of basic structural knowledge. A great artist learns from somebody, or they go to school, or they study the greats. They get that foundational structure, and then they apply their creativity to it.
Wow.
So you do have to read a book.
Yeah.
Watch some videos.
What if we don't like reading? I like picture books.
Listen to podcasts. There's great sex education podcasts. If you want to be great at sex, it's not dissimilar from wanting to be great at golf or cooking or anything else.
Do that research.
You don't just pull the information from inside and inspiration and don't expect your partner to do all the educating for you. There's so many tools out there. There's all the work that I put out for one, but it's important for you, if you want to be great at something, invest the time. Yeah. And then you add the little touches, like little socks, little head touches.
Don't learn that stuff from like porn, right? Yeah. Like what's better resource?
I mean, porn is all things, right? So there's feminist porn. Like there's Jackie St. James, who's a porn director, and she has made like award-winning pornographic films that can be seen as educational because they are heavily based and they are actually... She has intimacy educators work on the scenes with her.
Wow.
So that it is like anatomically correct what an actual sexual experience would be. Erica Less is another director. She has like a paid site, and all of her stuff is based on real people's stories and experiences. So there is some porn that could be educational, but
that's awesome.
The free one, probably not.
Yeah.
This porn director said something so great to me. She was like, if they were giving out free hot dogs on the side of the road, wouldn't you be like, why is this hot dog free?
That's true. Right.
Like, what's in this goddamn hot dog?
Right.
And so when you're ingesting free porn, you have to be curious as to why it's free and what's in that.
So when did you get into like all this, like, what is it? Intimacy educator. Sorry, I'm trying to like...
I love it.
I'm still learning how to do this stuff. But I wanted... one of my big questions was like, how did you become into it? Like,
okay, let me ask you a question first.
Okay.
What did you... your first memory of what you wanted to be when you grew up, what was that?
I wanted to be like my dad. I wanted to be a business owner.
And you are now.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. It's kind of crazy. I remember him like telling me like... you know, we did $2 million in sales. This is the biggest year ever. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
$2 million?
Yeah, I was like, it's crazy, especially in our small hometown. And then we come to LA and people are doing like $2 million in a day. I'm like, wow, this is...
I don't know those people. That's pretty awesome. That makes sense because I remember when I saw that video of you and Francesca, I think you like own a farm.
We got a little farm back home.
Yeah, so you got that shmoney, honey. That makes sense. well, I'm glad that you answered that question that way because it helps me to prove my point. But a lot of times when we think about purpose, people think about finding and discovering it. Mm. I think so much of it is about going back and acknowledging what you knew about yourself very early on. Yep. Like your early childhood instincts. Like what were you just drawn to? And honestly, I was drawn to... sex, the human body, intimacy, and in an age-appropriate way, I think. Like, I was just fascinated by the body and how wonderful it was. I was fascinated by love. I wanted to know about relationships. And I'm talking about, like, 5 years old.
Yeah.
My Barbies were banned from being naked.
Really?
Yeah, because they'd be at the grocery store. Tits out.
Oh,
just living the vida loca. Just living a life.
Because I want that lifestyle.
I thought the human body was, like, beautiful and good. Yeah. But I also went to a Catholic school. And so a lot of my early instincts were not encouraged.
Yeah.
And I got... you know, in trouble a lot for doing things that I think could have been encouraged in a different way or steered in a healthier way.
Yeah.
So when you have an interest in something and you're heavily repressed, you can go one of two ways. Mm-hmm. You can become a nun, or you can watch a bunch of porn and do a bunch of weird stuff with vegetables when you're 14.
I like number two.
I did number two.
Yeah.
So I started, you know, experimenting with sexuality in a very undercover way. And that didn't lead me to the healthiest of experiences.
Yeah.
So when I turned 18 years old, I had just had multiple partners, never had an orgasm, had very low self-esteem, had a complete lack of understanding of who I was and what my body was. And then I thought to myself, either that means that everyone was right and this is an evil thing, or I got to learn some stuff.
Wow.
So I spent an entire summer in the library reading every book possible about sex. And then I realized that there's great information out there, but it was just boring as fuck.
Yeah.
Like sex ed was bad sex.
Yeah.
It was predictable. It was slow. There was faceless. There was no eye contact. So I saw a niche for myself to be the person that made sex education sexy, that brought it to life.
Wow.
And
that's cool.
That thought was in 2005.
Wow. And then you just...
kept going.
Well, that's awesome. So it's kind of on topic. What are your thoughts on like the Instagram censorship and... these type of pages that are like taking down, you know, my ex Julia had her Instagram wiped. She had like 5.5 million followers. gone because she posts like essentially like it's seen as like soft porn. Like you can see like the outer areola. Is that the correct
yes.
term?
Yes.
Yeah, look at me.
Look at me go.
Look at me go. I'm like rubbing my dimple and saying that. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that that's justified because it is essentially seen as a kid's platform, but there is like some very questionable stuff on there? Or do you think, yeah, it's just outright wrong?
I mean, it's stupid. It's all just so silly. Everybody is here. 99.9% of people are here because people fucked, you know?
Wow, that's good.
So
it's facts right there.
The fact that we're trying to make it this like secretive, taboo, dirty, dark thing, and especially because of the fact that it's so prevalent now that they're still trying to censor it. Like, ooh, I can't see your areola on Instagram, but like two strokes of the finger later, I can see somebody getting a foot job, right? Mm. There's no, so the gatekeeping thing is just weird now.
Yeah.
It feels so outdated. I do understand that the people in power still come from a different generation.
Yeah.
I think once millennials start to take over those CEO positions, things might shift because it's not the CEOs of Instagram. It's a CEO of Procter & Gamble who probably is one of the key investors for advertisements in Instagrams.
Yeah.
And ads still dictate what platforms can and can't do because they're the ones who are funding them. So I think once those ad dinosaurs start to leave, you'll see things start to change.
I think that you're right. Like the lines are very like blurred right now. And then once, you know, the younger people come through, I feel like it would be a very like friendly and very sexual, like because I feel like a lot of this information, that's why I kind of got curious about it.
Are you on OnlyFans?
I am.
Yeah?
I'm running it up. It's crazy.
Oh, do tell.
It's actually nuts. But like I did it more so that I could like talk. I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to do it. I would never do it. I don't want to do that. And then my ex is like, hey, no, you should really like check it out. Like it's really cool. And I also try and like engage my followers as much as possible. So it's been very difficult to like reply to every comment, especially if I'm having a bad day. I'm very busy.
I have no idea how you would even begin to try to do that.
I legit sit down and like count to like 300 and see if I can get 300 DMs back. I mean, comments back. But OnlyFans has made it like more so like I'm a very sexual person. Like I like to be open and honest about, you know, what I'm doing in the bedroom, like who I like, how many people I've had sex with, or like what I like to do. Like I think OnlyFans is really good because it gives me that.
Why don't you answer those questions right now?
Okay. I have had sex with 161 people. I've taken 6 virginities. I honestly love eating pussy more than anything. Like when I was 17, I haven't told anyone this. Actually, I told a few girls, but when I was 17, I used to come from eating girls out. Like it happened twice. And I was like, this is wrong.
I've heard a lot of lesbians say that. I've never heard a cis heterosexual man say that. That's really cool.
I think what it is, maybe it's like a power trip for me because like I know, you know, once they come, like they're going to be thinking about me a little bit more. So it's like maybe I'm getting off on the fact that I know that they're going to be thinking about me later, or maybe I'm getting off on the fact that I know she's had a great time. And I think that's what it is. I've always sat down and I think when I hit 18, I ate out more girls than I had sex with. Like,
are you like very, because even like 300 comments,
yeah.
Are you a little OCD with numbers?
No, I just try and like hit a goal. Like I'm trying to hit a goal, but yeah, okay. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, I think that's why I really like tapping in OnlyFans because I can really just talk about stuff. And that's why I'm also excited to have a podcast because I know as a young man, I've got so many questions. I want to know stuff. I try and communicate. And I've been in other podcasts before where I've spoken about like spitting in girls' mouths and like how I like to choke them out. And like I'm very dominant in the bedroom and I've spoken about that. But I just, that's my point of view. And no one I'm having sex with is telling me otherwise because they're usually submissive. So I like to hear what other people say about this stuff.
Do you purposely choose submissive partners because you enjoy that power dynamic?
I think so. I think I can tell when someone's dominant. Like there was this one girl and we were talking and I was like, nah, you is scaring me. I was like, let's take a step back. Like, you know what? You seem like a good friend. Yeah, I just think it's also, makes me feel more manly, which is, you know, maybe not the most appropriate term for it, but it just makes me feel like I like being dominant and having that control in the bedroom. Like I know when a girl like starts riding on top, like it'll probably give like 20 seconds before I like get either angry or bored. And I'm like, okay, like now it's my turn.
You know what's so great is to know all this about yourself.
Really?
Yeah. to have someone sit across from me and succinctly explain like what they like in the bedroom, that first of all, that's probably one of the number one questions I get. Like, how do I tell people what I want? And most people don't have the language to describe or the self insight. So it's really fucking cool and impressive that you've gotten to this place that
Well, I feel
like that based on this conversation, someone listening could have a great sexual experience with you. Like they've gathered enough information to be like, okay, I feel like I could do this. So that's nice.
I also just want to help people like feel a little bit more comfortable, a little bit similar to you. Obviously, you're way more.
Clearly way more. No, without a question.
No, I mean, like more education wise, I'm just like going off my first hand experiences. But one of the biggest things in the bedroom that I've started to like become comfortable with, which was really hard at the start, is like talking and like moaning. I know as dudes, like we sit there and we lay like flat and we don't say anything. We don't even breathe heavy. But I found that when you're communicating or having that like and like talking to them, it makes it so much better because you can find out what they like. Like I've been, the way that I usually break it in is if I'm a little bit nervous, I'll go down on them, but I'll talk to their pussy.
Like, what would you say?
Like I'll tell them if it tastes good.
Yes!
Like if I enjoy it, if it's tight.
Clutch.
Like, stuff like that, and then I'll ask, like, because it's easier to talk to a pussy than someone's face. It probably sounds silly, but if you're eating a girl out, just talk to her. And sometimes, like, I don't know,
I don't know how great of a job you could be doing if you're chatting.
Well, it's true, but I just want to know.
Yeah, true.
True. Yeah, I'm actually probably terrible. I'm sitting there, like, reading, like, columns off my phone.
And she's just like.
Have you read this book? What's going on with you? Like, what are you doing today? No, what I usually do is I just want to make sure that I know that I'm getting them off, because sometimes some girls like fingers in there, we eat them out. Some girls hate it. Some girls just want you to focus on sucking their clit or like licking it. So I just try and make sure that I'm exercising that patience, but also figuring out what they like. And then that's where we double down. That's where we stop talking and go into it. And then once, you know, they come and you start having sex, you're way more comfortable with like communicating and talking to them, because they're also relaxed because they've just come.
Yes. You actually perfectly personified what I think is a secret ingredient to being great in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And that is to be a tourist, not a tour guide. Mm. No matter how many people you've had sex with, you should always be curious. Like when you go to a new country, what do? You're like, where do we go to eat? Yeah. What's good around here? Like, what do you guys wear? What's Christmas like? You have all this curiosity and there's a light in your eyes about it. It's not a heavy conversation. Like you go there fascinated to learn about something and someone else. And so when you're having sex with somebody, even with a partner you've had sex with multiple times, if you keep that curiosity up and that excitement for their experience, I think that you're always going to have fresh, awesome, hot sex.
Yeah, I think that's something that I've always like tried to, all this year, I've always tried to like push forward with, like I would take a girl to a sex store and I may pick out whatever you want. Like I want to try and use it on you. And that's one of the things that I've always been like excited about. If I'm having sex with someone for like a month, after that, like I feel like I don't get lazy. I just get like a little bit annoyed and a little bit bored. So I'm trying to like do whatever I can. Like let's whip out a butt plug. Let's tie you up. Let's try to do something different. What is a way that you think would be best for a couple to like experience or like expand their knowledge and say like shibari? Did I say it right?
Shibari.
Shibari.
It's better if you just say it the way you're saying it. Shibari. Shibari.
But yeah, what, like for a couple or for like people who are a little bit bored of their sex life, because it's one of the questions. I try and do like a Love Doctor series on my Instagram every now and then.
You've been doing that.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not, definitely not qualified.
Listen, Harry, if people were unsure about having sex with you before after this podcast, I feel like you're going to have a lot more takers.
Yeah, well.
This felt like a resume for you. Like, we just laid it all out there. Here's what I do. I got butt plugs. Here's what I got. So that sounds awesome. I think that you're extremely qualified to share that. And more people should feel empowered to refer to themselves as experts in this way.
For sure.
Because a lot of us have sex. All of us are going to have intimate connections in our life. So why should we not feel like we've got some power in this area and knowledge that's valuable and worthy of sharing and having other people listen to? So I love the fact that you're taking on that role as an expert and you should never shy away from that.
Oh,
161 partners, you must know some. You collected enough data, your anecdotal information. There's a lot of surveys actually that are like scholastic surveys that only have 161 participants.
Wow.
So you've already probably completed some like pretty serious academic research worthy papers.
Well, I was annoyed. My mom, when I was 18, she told me she had sex with 200 people. I'm like, you bitch, I'm gonna have to outdo you. I'm like,
the numbers thing.
I'm like, I was like competitive.
That's,
I was
very
like,
open family communication.
Yeah, me and my mom are like, me and my mom
how
are
many
like,
partners has your mom had sex with?
My mom?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, me and my mom have a very like open like and transparent communication. Like, first time I ever did drugs, I was like, hey mom, like I'm very high. I'm in Spain right now. What do I do? She's like, hey, it's all good. Like, I feel like it's always good to have like
Oh, very good. It's excellent.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay, so how do you spice things up in the bedroom? Let's go back to although shout out to your mom.
Shout out to mom.
Yeah, you're still behind.
Yeah, I know.
Still
but
losing.
But I think I might slow down now because I'm trying to like have more like spiritual sex in that sense. Like, whereas, you know, at the start of the year, I was just like a big gorilla, like trying to like.
Well, you're welcome to make, if one partner was an exceedingly exceptional experience, just make them 10 partners. Right, because they were the value of 10.
We feel those lines into the sheep. Like, okay.
I like what you were saying about like being the tourist and not the tour guy. Because I remember when I was younger, I would just be like too ashamed to ask like a question, you know? Even though based on what? Like I'm young and I have no dad, but I would just be like, no, I know everything. Like, I've seen porn before.
Where does that come from, though? That comes from a lot of the, I think, rhetoric that's in the media that the penis, right, is supposed to impregnate the world and make people orgasm 50 times and solve all the world's problems and end wars. Like, there's all this pressure placed on the penis, and then there's no supplementing information or guidance on how to even be good at that. And so I feel like that's a large flaw of society. I think that podcasts like these are actually helping to change it, to say, no, it's okay to admit you don't know something. It's actually sexy to admit that you don't know something. And furthermore, it's sexy to seek out information and become good because you know that you've invested the time, not because you just lucked into it.
Yeah.
All right. So we actually have our first official sponsor. It is Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop. There's lube, dildos, sex. You know, we're all about having good sex over here at Tap In. If you want to get anything, pretty much most of the stuff on their website, it's 50% off. Use the code TAPIN. You also get free shipping. So if there's like a special wand, a little satisfied, a little rabbit vibrator that you want to try, that you've been dying to try to make your fucking toes curl, this is the time. Use code TAPIN. Go in there. Get some free shipping. Make your toes curl. Make your back arch. Let those little white hairs stand up at the back of your neck. Lads, as well, go in there, get some lube, get a pocket pussy, wild out. Trust me, you don't know how it feels, so you may as well give it a go. It's a good time. I can tell you that much for free. And also, ladies, look, get in there, get that vibrator. It is going to make everything so much better, even when you're alone, a little Sunday morning. Give yourself a little tickle, that magic touch. Trust me, and lads as well, maybe stock up on your little sex drawer, because I myself have a stack of vibrators, and once you have a girl come over, you hit it from the back, you put it underneath, and I can tell you she'll be quivering because no one does that. Thank you so much. AdamandEve.com, is that the correct one? AdamandEve.com. Use the code TAPIN. It's your boy Harry. Now back to the beautiful podcast. Thank you so much.
Wow. This is awesome. This is so sexual. I love this stuff.
It's so fun. And it's the thing. It's like you can never get sick of it because there's everyone's experience. Like, I've learned some things from you today. So there's constant. And to answer that question about how you can keep things fresh in the bedroom, if you're authentic, it can't get old.
Yeah.
So even what you were saying about talking, right? Like, how do you keep conversations interesting and fresh? You just say some new shit. You ask a different question, right? Like, it's not that hard to reinvent sex if you're just authentically responding to what's happening in the moment. Because no two moments are alike. So that's a baseline thing. If you don't have to go to Cancun and hire someone to have a threesome with you. You could just simply do something like, hey, tonight we're playing a card game first so I can talk and hear some things from you. Or tonight we're going to watch a porn together. Yeah. Or tonight we're going to have sex on this side of the bed rather than that side. We're going to change the light bulb to a red light bulb. The brain is really basic. Yeah. You can do subtle, small things to make it feel like a whole different experience.
Wow. Yeah, I think that one of the worst things that my brother ever told me is like, you never plan sex, you never plan for it. And for me, like growing up, that kind of like stunted me from like trying to figure out what they're into or like how they want to go about it, because my brother's just like, it's just going to happen when it happens. And I'm like, fuck, like, I'm like, oh shit. Like, I'm like, hey, like, you want to come over? Then I'm like, oh no, I can't plan this. Like, I'd freak out. So I think,
people say those things based on the decimal 2% of the time that it actually works out.
Yeah.
I actually did a show years ago with a bunch of young girls, and we were talking about consent And I brought up the thing of like, yeah, before someone kisses you, like if they, you know, ask to kiss you and they were like, oh my gosh, ew, tacky. I would be so grossed out if someone asked me if they could kiss me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're only thinking about that one person you have a crush on who you and them lock eyes after school and they come up to you and you have this moment and they pick you up and you have this passionate kiss. Mm. You're not thinking about the other 98% of the times that someone that you didn't want to kiss, that you weren't attracted to, that you thought you were just hanging out with as just friends.
Yeah.
And so be mindful of the language that you use, because yes, wouldn't it be great if you just had these magical chemistry inducing moments that were perfect with people, but life isn't perfect.
Yeah.
And so communication is there to help fill in that gap.
Yeah. Wow. I keep saying wow because it's like it's so much wisdom, so much little wizard bobs over here.
Do you think there's a connection between like having like a good sexual life and experience and like what you're just doing in life in general and like how to improve on that? Like if you're like working out and killing it at life and being happy and eating well versus like how that will translate in the bedroom?
Oh, of course. I think everything kind of exists on a continuum. Mm. Mind you could be great at sex and shit at everything else. Or you could be shit at everything else, great at everything else and shit at sex.
True.
But it's more likely that if you're trending upwards and you feel good about yourself and you know how to treat yourself well, that you can take those same principles and apply them elsewhere.
Yeah.
I always say that about being great at relationships or anything else in life. If you've already learned from your dad how to make $2 million a year in business, you know the discipline that it takes, the amount of communication, the amount of clarity, and the focus and the shared goals it takes. If you just took that same formula and applied that to your relationships with Francesca or anybody else, you'd make $2 million worth of love every year.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've always found like being in a relationship that people always, like if there's a problem, they see it as like a problem that's between them. And what I've always tried to do with like my exes or in the past, I'm like, we're a team. Like this problem doesn't belong here. How can we work together to make that disappear or make that move forward? I think a lot of young people also like lack that type of mindset. It's more so like, okay, he's doing this wrong for me. And I've found that like in a lot of situations, I've been like stumbled up because I've accepted my like wrongdoing and then they've like doubled down on that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like this is very silly. But I wanted
to
go back.
Do you want to be right or do you want to be in a relationship? Because you can be right all you want, right? And you're always the one who's on that high horse, but then your partner is down below.
Yeah.
And how does that equal a good partnership?
True. Wow.
That's what it's
right. That's facts right there. What else is going on with you? What else do you get? What other knowledge you got in that head?
That's about it.
Okay, so I have a quick question, but I know you probably will probably just say it's very person to person, it's very hard. But as a young woman, how do they take care of their yonis and protect their energy? And also, how can they be more confident in the bedroom? Because I know, like, I've got a lot of women, my audience is mainly women. And these are questions that I don't have answers to and I don't know how to help. So I guess someone that's very confident in your sexuality and everything that's going on, how can you, if you're someone that's like 18 and trying to figure out life, how can you be more confident?
Well, like for the physical elements of things, like look after your pH.
Yeah.
A person with a vulva should have a pH between 3.5 to 4.5. There's strips you can get at a local store to test what yours is. So if you're hyper obsessed about smell or just about health in general. Oh, go ahead.
How do I tell a girl that her pussy stinks? Like I know it's hard, but I've tried. I was seeing this girl and everything was perfect. Everything was amazing with her. Everything was awesome. She's a great person, has a great heart of gold. But every time we'd have sex, it would be to the point where I would go soft. And I've never had that. And one time I tried to make it obvious that it was really, really like disturbing me. So I picked her up and I put her in the shower and I was like fingering her with like shower water. I'm like trying to like do that because we just had like a long car ride. But then I was asking my friends and I'm like, I really don't know what to do. Do I buy cranberry pills and put it like beside her dresser? But I don't want her to think that I know that something's off, because like as I said before, like I love eating pussy and I love going down on them. But when we first started hooking up, I was like, oh, maybe this is going to go away. Maybe it's got something to do with her diet, because she wouldn't eat all day and she'd have rosé and caviar at night. And I'm like, hey, I feel like it's got something to do with diet. So I was trying to like buy like meal plans and stuff like that to help. But I didn't have the confidence. So how do I say it?
Listen, that is a very difficult one.
I know.
Do you ever watch the TV show The Bachelor before?
Yes.
Yeah. It is like a masterclass in cringeworthy conversations of like, I'm just not into you. And you're like sitting there like, oh, but honestly, people always just say, thank you for telling me. And it is so, yeah. so difficult, but acknowledging that that information is not cruel, it is kind.
Okay.
And you're helping her not just in this situation, but in the ones going forward. But it, there's no way around it. There's, yeah. there's no magical way to tell somebody that, yeah. like, I feel like you've got a hygienic problem in the place, yeah. that you probably fear you might have a hygienic problem.
Yeah.
Furthermore, it sounds like bacteria vaginosis, which...
Oh, it's a big word. Did you just cast a spell on me? Like, oh my God, what just happened?
Bacteria vaginosis is like, it's essentially when your pH is off,
oh, okay.
and you've got too much of... There's good bacteria and bad bacteria that exists, yeah. in the vulva. And when you've got too much bad bacteria, it outweighs the good. And then you've got this fishy smell.
Yeah.
One, that's like the number one symptom. Or two, your discharge can be gray.
Yeah.
And it can go on for years if you don't get it cleared up. Or you can go through spells of having it and not having it. Sometimes, yeah. it can also be because of the partner that you're with,
yeah.
that your chemistry together just keeps throwing off your pH. So it could,
really?
Have been that the two of you were just incompatible in that way. Or she could have had this issue prior.
Thing?
Yeah. I mean, you're
no
putting
way.
Two bodies together, right? And so if our body chemistry doesn't work, people who are experiencing, you know, persistent UTIs, urinary tract infections, that could also be a cause as well. But
wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a
So it is
thing.
Like, it's hard. What did you end up doing? What's the end of the story?
We ended up finishing.
Breaking up?
It just didn't work. I couldn't.
Because of that?
Well, there was a number of things that happened, and also like I completely was in the wrong, mm. and it was.
It's kind of a theme here, isn't it?
I think it is. I think I'm actually the problem, but I knew that I was being toxic, and I was getting like a little. I wasn't getting possessive, but I was also getting like we were together like every single day for like a couple months, and when we weren't together, I was like, oh, I'm missing my person. So I'd be like, oh, what are you doing? Like, I'm going to come over. And then I'd be like telling her like where we're going or what we're doing. And I'm like, I don't want to be like with Francesco or my other exes. I've been very relaxed. I'm like, sure, go do your thing. But with this girl, I was just like, I think I was more so worried because she's in the scene. And the last guy that I was with just cheated on me with someone else. So I was just like more so just a little bit scared and protective of myself. And then I got to a point where she went to Mexico with her ex who like put her on this like extravagant birthday trip, and I was just kind of like deflated after that because I was really, really into her. And then it just got to a point where
is this
was,
before like you had your own access and your own like ability to do that?
No, this was very recent.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we could have still done it and stuff like that, but I just have this rule where I don't want to like invest money and stuff like that in a person who doesn't want to invest it in themselves or like doesn't want to like I have a rule like I won't fly someone out unless I'm like dating them. So like all my boys like, oh yeah, fly her out, do this. I'm like, nah, I don't want to. I'm not. I feel like it's just a cheap way to hook up with someone or to have someone here. Like I feel like if you value me, you'll book their tickets and you'll come. And then after that, like whatever, like I'll get it. It's probably, you know, it's probably not a very good way to go about it. It might upset a few people, but I just think that that's just how I look at these situations because I want to have someone who's successful, has their own and is motivated and is empowered to go and, you know, create their own businesses and stuff like that. But yeah, answer that question. I think that was one of the biggest factors that like pulled me away from her because we stopped having sex. Like we really slowed down and I'm 23 and my sex drive is so high. Like I always want to fuck like 3 or 4 times a day. Like I'm very like sexually active in that sense. And we went from the first night we hung out to having sex like 4 times to like the second day, like 2 times. And then it just like really dwindled off to it was like maybe once a week where, or if I could see that she was in the mood, I would like stay away from her, which was weird. And then it got to, I have a rule where I don't let girls like make me come from head. And it got to a point where she did that. And I was like, fuck, like I've let myself down. I told her, I was like, hey, like I've got this rule where I don't like making girls make me come from head because I feel like it's too powerful. Now I'm sitting here with like a flaccid penis, just like grumpy and like knowing that I didn't make you come.
Oh my gosh.
It's my number one rule. If a girl starts giving me really good head, I'm like, hey, stop that.
Yeah.
Get away from me. You're a witch.
Because you think that makes you feel submissive.
Yeah, I don't like it. Mm. I just, for some reason, that type of energy and having like, it only recently just happened as well. Like I will be with a girl unless I'm dating them. I feel like, you know, if they start getting me headed, but I just feel like I feel like I owe them something and I don't like that. I would rather like you give me head for a little bit, then I'll eat you out, make you come, and then maybe we'll have sex and then I'll come and it'll be, it'll be done.
And it's all even Stevens.
Yeah, yeah. I hate that because I'll keep a tab and I'm like, fuck, like we're in the car. I'm like, hurry up, please, please. But yeah, that's, I don't know. It's a weird rule. Is that bad? Is it?
I can see how it lends into like your desire to be dominant. And you're very clear about that. Like there's a term in BDSM that's averse, which is people who are comfortable being, or a switch.
Yeah.
You're comfortable being a dominant or a submissive. But there are people who are like, I'm just submissive or I'm just dominant.
Yeah.
You're just dominant.
Can't handle that shit.
Like in all cases across the board, like there's never a situation where you feel comfortable in an anywhat somewhat submissive situation. Yeah. So as long as people know that about you, it makes sense.
She's going through.
I feel like there's like no two stories that are the same. With pregnancy, it is one of those. Everyone experiences it slightly different.
Yeah.
I think the thing that to me was my greatest gift of being pregnant is how much it taught me about the value of self-care. And I say that because when you get pregnant, all of a sudden you're like, oh, can't eat this, can't, even something as simple as nail polish. You have to watch what nail polish is, because whatever you put on your skin can go into your bloodstream. Whatever cream you put in your skin can enter into your bloodstream. So you become hyper mindful of not just what you're putting on your body, but what's entering into your body or even who's around you. Yeah. And that's because you have a precious life inside of you. But then you're like, so what was I doing the rest of my life? I'm not worth looking after. I'm not worth being mindful of. I'm not worth all of this. And so it taught me so much that maybe I thought before that I was looking after myself, but I realized how much more mindful I could be and then how my body could thrive and benefit from that. Like my skin cleared up. My hair grew thicker. Like so much of me just physically and emotionally improved because I loved myself so deeply during those 9 months. And so if she just does that, I feel like the outcome will be beautiful. And I hope a baby's on the other side of this process for her. I really do wish her the best with that, because that sounds so heartbreaking. But
it's been a crazy experience. But I can tell she's glowing and she's like ready, because she's more like because before, when the first baby that was coming around, she was very excited. Like she told her whole family. But now it's just like, because I've got four half sisters, one brother who sucks. We don't like him. But I only talk to her. Yeah, fuck you, Charlie. They actually got to court today. He's going to court with my mom today.
What?
This is crazy. My God.
Your life is very fascinating.
This is how fucked up he is. He threw my mom down the stairs and choked her. Look, allegedly, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as I heard that, like, that's my person. Like, that's my reason of doing things. My mom. So I'm like, as soon as I heard that, I was like, you better watch. I was about to book flights and have to do a 2-week quarantine, like angry in my hotel.
Yeah.
Like, but my mom called me and said, hey, you need to relax. Like, it's fine. It's not that deep. Like, we're going to figure it out. So there's some hectic family dramas going on.
It's terrible. Can we also just note, though, that even though you hate your brother, you didn't want to give him COVID. You're like, I'll still quarantine for 2 weeks to make sure that I'm clear and COVID-free.
Diabetes, so if he got it, he'd be fucked.
Yeah, like, I'll
punching him
up
is one thing. COVID? Yeah. No.
I'll beat the fuck out of him, but COVID, like, I don't want him to die. Like, come on. Like, that's my brother. But yeah, so she's like kind of just being like reluctant to tell anyone, and she's like having her time in the sunshine and like out by the water. And honestly, when I found out, like, I cried. I was in Vegas. I was laying in bed with this beautiful woman, and my sister called me, and I'm like, hey, I'm excited. And she told me that she's pregnant. I just cried. I was like, there's no way. I was like, this is it. Like,
did you cry in front of that other person?
Yeah. She was just like, wow, I didn't, like, she was very taken back, but I was just so excited. It just put me on such a buzz. And I've always been like, I know, like, I'm really excited to have a kid, but I just really want it to be the right person.
Yes.
And, like, the right time. Because when I was at university, one of my best friends, I've got a lot of older friends, and he just had his firstborn, and he was telling me, he's like, man, there's just nothing like looking in that baby's eyes. And like, no, like, he's like, there's just no feeling that can explain that. And that's why I'm excited for my sister. I'm like, I can't wait for you to have that and to sit down and like go home and like have like a little rug rat running around.
Do you like the baby daddy?
He's the best.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the best. He's such a really good guy. Like, his name's Dan, and he's a firefighter.
Shout out to Dan.
Shout out to Dan.
Fuck you, Charlie.
Yeah, fuck you, Charlie.
Yes, Dan.
Your goatee. Dan's really cool. He's had a very because he's a firefighter, so that has like one of the highest suicide rates. It's crazy the type of stuff that he'd tell me and how they. Like the rituals that they have when they go to like these car crashes and stuff like that. Man, this podcast is taking a turn.
No, this is great. This is great content.
But yeah, he was telling me like how the firefighters will go, if there's a dead body, and they'll pick up the arm, and they have to make it like playful, or else it gets very dark. So like grab the arm, like, ew, like chase each other around with it. And then like get water. They have to like wash it off, wash off that bad energy and like the bad, like the spirits and stuff when they're there. So very, very crazy. But I think I have like one more question. I know I've kept you for a while.
I have a quick question for you. Do you have any opinions that are like very controversial that you're like, no, like I stand by this, that people like give you a hard time about?
Ooh,
that's a good one. You're trying to get some headlines.
I know, right?
Like, no, not so much that, but I feel like everybody has a thing that is just like, even if it's like, not that crazy.
This shit's been boring. What do you have that's going to get the people going?
Do you like Donald Trump?
That is actually the first time I've ever been asked that question.
It could be a nutritional thing. It could be.
It's a phenomenal question.
That's good.
Do you know what? I think, honestly, the thing that I probably get the most heat for is I feel like everybody has access to the life that they want to live.
100%.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very controversial opinion.
Really?
And, oh my gosh, it is.
Wow. Because legit say this life is a video game. If it's real, you can achieve it. Like if someone has a $100 million yacht, there's nothing stopping you from going and getting that.
Well, people, I mean, here's the thing. I think people mistake obstacles for being like immovable. Like it's impossible. Yeah. If there's an obstacle, it's impossible. Versus like, yes, there's extra challenges. Everyone doesn't have the exact same start line. And 2020 showed us that more than anything else. Yeah. Yes, some people have a harder time and there are, you know, things in your way that are not in my way and vice versa. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that you still can't get there.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit slower, maybe a little bit more of an exciting, dangerous route, but doesn't mean you still can't. So I think even for example, like I'm 35 years old and I had my first baby and I worked out throughout my pregnancy and afterwards I really again devoted myself to eating well, to drinking water, having sex throughout pregnancy to like everything just to like love on my body. And so afterwards I was able to get back into shape really quickly. And
Can I ask, is that kind of awkward? There's like a big baby there.
It was awkward for my husband a little bit. I think that he found it. There's certain things that I had to learn through this experience as well, is that I got really excited about the baby moving and I wanted him to always experience that.
Yeah.
So sometimes when we were getting intimate, if I could feel the baby move, I would share that with him. Yeah. And that would like mentally really just take him out. I probably should have said a little bit less. And like talking about awkward conversations when you're pregnant, you have like all these extreme changes in your hormones.
Yeah.
So I guess I had really bad breath for a while. Yeah. So he told me that one day, and that was a really hard talk. As I said, there's no easy way, but I was happy to know that because I was also working at that time.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, mask on. It's all good. It's the pandemic. I'll do everyone a favor.
Yeah,
there was like, it wasn't perfect sex, and it was definitely like a transition period. But because we had communication built in from the beginning, it was easy to talk our way through all the different nooks and crannies and curveballs thrown our way during those 9 months. But I put out a picture recently just talking about like, hey, through self-love, like you don't have to give up as a mom. There's all these like messages that you have to give up your body, give up your life, like give up your sex life, give up your sexuality. You can't flirt anymore. Like all of a sudden, so much of who you are gets traded in for this mom card. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be that way.
It shouldn't be like that. No,
but there were so many people who were like, this is a place of privilege. You have no idea. You know, you have a very rare experience. You have a very rare circumstance. And
really?
I was like, maybe, but I think we all can drink water.
Yeah.
I think we can all go for a run in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And even like, you know, I talked about simple things like taking naps when I was tired. Mm. And people are like, not everyone can take a nap. And I was like, I didn't realize that naps were now a luxury. But so maybe that's the controversial thing.
I hate people that look at situations and don't get inspired. They get angry. I hate that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been friends with people that, you know, I like started blowing up, getting a little bit more successful, and they get angry. And I'm like, hello.
What are they mad at?
Like, why are you angry at me?
What is their anger? Like, what do they like, say?
They would just be more so like furious that they weren't in that position or they weren't in the same room as some people that I was in the same room with. And I'm like, hey, like I worked hard for this. Trust me. You know, I'm building this relationship. And within a couple months, like you'll be in the same room.
Was Too Hot to Handle your second reality show?
Yeah. I did one beforehand. It was very different. It was like more so like Bachelor in Paradise cross with Survivor, and maybe you might get a relationship. It was like very, very bizarre, but it's very weird. Francesca went after the girl that I was on the first show with and followed each other, and they went on like a hate Harry spree.
Oh, crazy. Really?
Yeah, it was weird. It was
not the person that she's dating right now.
Huh?
The person that she's dating right now is not that.
No, no, no.
Because
no.
The person she's dating right now is also in reality TV.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I think her name is
Dana. It's one great circle jerk, huh?
No, it's the reality TV, like, orgy. Yeah. It's all going down. But it was weird because I didn't know about it, but I'm friends with one of her friends, and she FaceTimed him, and they were there together, and I was, like, really, like, awkward, like, on the couch. I'm like, oh, maybe you guys have this conversation, like, another time. But... yeah, it was very bizarre. The first show didn't teach me as much, but it also gave me like a taste of like how much fun it is. I think that's where people get it like twisted, like, oh, like you're a clout chaser or you're like hungry for fame. It's like, no, like I'm hungry to like entertain people. That's yes. why I entered this space. It's like I love like watching it back and seeing like a comment of like, this guy's hilarious, or like knowing that my friend's like laughing that I made a dick of myself and I lied about her kissing me or whatever. Like I love that type of stuff. And I think,
but also how fucking cool is it to get to fall in love for a living?
It's life changing. It's
get to fall in
crazy.
Love in beautiful locations, yeah. wearing next to nothing, with beautiful yeah. people wearing next to nothing. That's what you do for a job. Like,
crazy.
It's pretty nice.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. yeah. If that's called clout chasing, where's the form?
Yeah,
so I will sign up. Yeah.
yeah. I would never change that for the world. Netflix honestly like changed my life. Like, it's bizarre to look back and see kind of how everyone's doing and how people have like taken a grasp on this whole show and like the opportunities that it's brought in. A lot of people like kind of stayed still, and that's what I was telling like a lot of other casts. I was like, hey, you need to like this is just day one. Like, you need to keep hustling and making stuff happen. But a lot of people like think they made it and they're like, cool, like we're done, we're tapping out. Like, I saw, apparently my manager texted me and said apparently like Francesca was on live and was like bagging season two, like, oh, season two's coming, like, fuck that, fuck this. I'm like, why?
Well, yeah.
Why are you so angry? Like, you should be excited, and you should be, because it's going to revamp everything for everyone else. And it's, you should be excited for Netflix to get more success. And the fact that they're like, this show is a smash, we're going to do it a couple more times. Like, I hate that mentality. Like, this is ours. Like, this is, it's like, you're a part of something that changed your life, and you shouldn't gatekeep. You should just be excited about what's to come and how to capitalize on everything.
Well, the scarcity model is like, if I have and someone else has, that means there's not enough for everybody else.
Yeah.
Or like, there's just a finite amount. People have that with love too.
Yeah.
Like this scarcity thing of love, of like, if you like somebody else, it means that you like me less. So if I'm in a relationship with you, I don't want you to even like anybody else as a friend.
Bizarre.
Right. But it's that when you have an abundance mindset of like, there is enough to go around, there is more than enough love. And as a matter of fact, it's like a renewable resource. The more that I like, the more that I have to like other people around me. The more success that there is out there in the world, the more likely it is that I will achieve success. So it sounds like you have like an abundance mindset.
For sure. I think there's nothing better than that. Like, I wake up in the morning. We have our orgone pyramids. Have you got some of them?
Oh.
They're like they're pyramids that are made of like crystals inside. They have a Tesla coil, and each of them have like different meanings and stuff like that. And we have one for abundance, and it's just like, you write down what you're manifesting or your goals, and you put it underneath it. For the money one, we've put like $100 bills or something, and like a check for $10,000 underneath it. Once I obviously cashed it, I'm not letting it sit there. We put it underneath, and then there's like a love one and stuff like that. And I think having those around has like trained me to be like more like, because after that happened, like my money like times 20. It was like weird. Within a week, it just skyrocketed. I'm like, how did this happen? But I think it was more so like, this life is legit a video game. If you sit there, manifest it, you think about abundance, you think there's, you know, you be thankful for all the money that you have, you be thankful for all the love that you have and all the experiences, the right person, the right job, the right situation will come. You just have to keep having that mindset, because when people close off and like be scarce, like one of my old friends, he doesn't have a job, he has like a good amount of money in his account, and he trades stocks, but he's just too scared to go out and spend any type of money. I'm like, imagine living your 20s, the best years of your life, being too scared to go out and have like a $50 dinner with your friends, or like going to Miami with the boys. Like, you need to be like, there's so much money in this world, there's so much love, there's so much good vibes and good energy, you just need to keep tapping into that. I legit, you're right, like, I hate that scarcity mindset. I hate like, hold, this is mine and no one gets to touch it. It's like, no, go enjoy, live life. Do you think I'm rambling now?
No, that was a great TED Talk.
That was good.
That's my TED Talk. Thank you so much.
I'll sign up for the masterclass. I'll take two.
I have another question for you. I noticed you referenced like self-love a couple of times, right? How do you define self-love and what are practices you could do to cultivate more self-love?
I think self-love is I would pick me. I would pick me to go on a date with. I would pick me to get hired for a job. Like, I value and appreciate myself, and I choose to be me. And if I had an option to choose to be somebody else, I would say no.
That's such a good answer.
Dang.
Wow. I did that, like a similar thing the first time we met when I was on Call of Daddy. And they were like, she asked me like, why you, I think she said something about being like self-love. It was similar. And it, similar story, like when I was in high school, my friend Rhodey Rutherford, skinny.
What a great name. Sorry?
Does he wear a cowboy hat?
Yeah, no, he does. His whole family really? Has like the coolest names, like as well as like Thor, Bo, like it's crazy. But he was built like a rat. Like in high school, like very skinny, scrawny, and he had the hottest girl. I'm like, how did you do it? Like, how did you land this beautiful piece? Like, what's going on here? And he's like, you know, I'm stuck in this body for the rest of my life. I have to be in this human for the rest of my life. Like, if I don't love myself, no one else will love me. And it always stuck with me. Like, it legit always stuck with me. I'm like, that's such a good way to look at it. And once you have that self-love.
I'm still stuck on he was built like a rat.
He was.
Well, you clearly don't love his body.
No, he did. It's crazy. Like, it's so funny. He actually, funny story about him. He was at a party and one of his friends had a tattoo gun and tattooed HIV positive on his leg.
Why? Was he?
No. He's just crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's bizarre, but I know, it was sidetracked.
That's very a very Rhodey Rutherford thing to do.
Shout out, Rhodey.
Do you hear the name for the first time and you retained it?
No. I mean, just now. He said
That's pretty impressive. I would never have been able to retain. It would have been like Shibari for you. Yes. I'd be like Rhodey Rutherford. Rhodey.
It's a good name.
It's an amazing name, but I don't know what that is. Rhodey Rutherford?
Rutherford, yeah. His mom's great as well. I think she does like sex ed as well.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, she's great. She's really cool.
You have a very interesting circle back home.
Yeah, it's actually bizarre. Like the friends that I grew up with and everything that's going on. It's really cool though because I always check in and like call them and stuff like that because obviously this life is very different to what I grew up knowing. Like we got 19,000 people in our surrounding area. So it's like a very small town. Like everyone grew up in, did plumbing and stuff like that. And I remember I called my brother before I hated him. And I was like, hey, and he's like asking me about like girls and stuff and yeah, fuck you, Charlie. And I said to him, I was just like, yeah, like I spat in this girl's mouth and like face fucked with my fingers. And he's like, what? He's like, you did that? I'm like, yeah, like it was dirty, sweaty, like hot sex. Like it was really good. And he was just so closed off from that type of like sex and like interaction. He's like, there's no way. Like, I have to tell mom. Like, that's so bad. And my mom was like, hey, are you spitting on girls? I'm like, no, mom, it's not like that.
Oh, he went and told for real.
Yeah. Hey, the fucking snitch. I was just like, no. I'm not like walking past him and going, bitch. Like, it's like in the bedroom. It's like part of like heat of the moment type of like situation. It's very like, very different. And, like, that's like common here. I know with like all my friends, like, it's one of the first things I do. Like if a girl's about to give me head, like I'll spin her mouth and be like, okay, suck my dick with it. And then we go get involved in there. But back home, like,
but not till you come.
Yeah. Hey, if it gets anywhere near, I'm like, that's enough. You're over my shoulder, you're leaving. Get out. But yeah, back home is very just like plumbers and like growing up, it's very like different lifestyles. So like Instagram models and like celebrities and stuff like that seems like so far fetched. Where did you grow up? Did you grow up in LA?
I want to throw something out there that's just completely unrelated, but there was this rumor that that Drake had sex with this girl and made her spit into a cup up until a certain amount.
No way.
Yes. Like, and I believe she had to use this saliva to pour on his penis to give him a handjob, or she had to reabsorb the saliva, then give him head.
Wow. That sounds like a process.
Is that attractive to you?
I would hate to see a jar of saliva. I would be like, ugh.
It's kind of a dominant thing, I guess, maybe to do like, hey, spit in this cup.
Yeah.
Don't stop until you hit that line.
Actually, I'm going to do that now. I'm going to have a bowl, like a big popcorn bowl. Be like, yeah, vomit.
Spit is gross. Vomit, that's fine.
Yeah, the second it leaves the body, it's like no longer attractive. Yeah. It's like if it's in a container.
It shouldn't make a face. At the end of the day, whatever you're into, if you can find a consenting partner for it, it's sexy. One of the coolest things I got to do is when I was studying to be a sexologist, we had this course that's called the Sexual Attitude Reassessment. And it's 40 hours of essentially watching porn to make it so that no matter what it is someone tells you that you're into, you're like, oh, I've seen something similar to that before.
Wow.
And so you're like, oh.
That sounds like a fucking a long 40 hours. So you have
it
to
does, watch like the very weirdest long, shit. Very weird. Not weird, is fascinating.
Fascinating. Yeah,
very sorry. Fascinating ways that consenting adults can use their bodies together and other objects
what
to
was
find
the
pleasure.
Most interesting one.
You know what actually was the one that was like difficult for me? I mean, I'm okay with a lot of fetish porns or like role play porns. Those are like, you know, like infantilism is where people dress up like babies, like they wear diapers. Mm. And I kind of got it. The one that I was like, ah, that's interesting. It was genital cutting, where people like to put very small cuts on each other's genitals.
How do you one day go, you know what? I would love a cut on my cock.
You just do.
Yeah, it's getting excited. Let me just slice a flap real quick. Just get a hot knife.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but to see two people do it together and knowing how hard it must be to find someone else who also enjoys that, you can't help but feel compersion for them, which is like joy when watching other people have pleasure. Wow. So you feel this joy of like, how cool is it that the two of you have found each other?
Did they come from it?
I don't know if that porn ended in an orgasm. It wasn't like every porn ended like an ejaculation. Sometimes it was like more of like a tutorial of like how people.
I would be so scared because I couldn't imagine like getting a razor anywhere near that. I would just be, I would shrivel up and turn into a little turtle. Like a little turtle head. I'd be way too scared. That's great. 40 hours of like, well, and look, I'm not trying to kink shame. I just think that that's
fascinating.
Yeah. I've heard some crazy stuff about big celebrities out here, like being like having headphones on in like in the bedroom and like having their manager beside them. They've all got headphones on and like not talking to the girls and like having them come in and then leave. I've heard that about like when I was living in New Zealand, like these artists would fly in, they would be in their hotel room, they'd have an array of women in the lobby and they'd just go up two by two and they would just go and like do stuff and then leave. And I was like, that's very bizarre. Like,
what's with the headphones?
Because they didn't want to talk to them or didn't want to like, and was like, don't look them in the eyes.
Oh,
like, that's interesting. I couldn't imagine what would be going on in your head as the, you know, as the guy or especially the woman. Like, I feel like you'd feel very used, but yeah, I guess people ended.
Well, I guess if you're knowing what the experience is going to be, and I mean, I think that sometimes sex could be great just to make an interesting story, right? Yeah. Like imagine talking to the person who went through that and was like, it was really interesting. Like we went into this guy's room and he had headphones on and he was like face the wall. And I was like, okay, it's great art anyways. And so I would think like to do something once, but that sounds not that fulfilling if that is like the way that you consistently interact with people sexually.
Yeah. Maybe he was just a little bit bored and he's like,
roll the dice.
Yeah. Look, if Rihanna called me and said, wait in the lobby and come in and like, don't look me in the eyes and like, I've got headphones on, but sweet, I'm there. I'm rolling
it. So you are dominant for everybody, but for Rihanna, submissive. Got it.
Yeah, look, I'm a little bitch boy.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm a little bitch boy.
Break them.
Okay, we'll wrap this up. So my last thing is, what is your message? Like, what is your, what, if the people listening, what is one thing you'd want them to take home?
You can have an incredible, fulfilling, awesome, hot life and sex life. Just got to put the work in. And they already know that because they're here listening to your podcast. So they're investing the time and listening to people who have an expertise and have a perspective and who are curious about this space.
Yeah,
I think that that's going to lead you to pleasure. And I think that we live in a world that touts that sex and relationships are secondary. Like, get your career first. You know, focus on yourself. You're young. Just have fun. Having great sex is fun. Having great ethical, connected sex is fun. Yeah. Having great relationships is fun. And it's going to allow you to learn so much more about yourself and connect with yourself in a way that you probably can't do alone. Like, we're pair bonding mammals who need each other. Mm. So don't ignore this part of your life. And if you are ignoring it and you're feeling that emptiness, it might be time to put some energy towards repairing that.
Wow.
That's really great. Good.
You're fascinating. Good. This was, I don't know how you're going to summarize this episode. There was so much covered.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot going on. And the craziest thing is, I mean, this felt very like normal and like relaxing for me, whereas the other podcasts are like, I've come in like very like hot and heavy and I had like my questions. And now I feel like this is the type of stuff I want to talk about. Like, this is very like, eye-opening for me, because I know the younger Harry would love to sit down and like listen to this. Because even at in high school, like, I'd be like, how do you make a girl squirt? Like, it's my Google. I remember one day, this girl's like, hey, can I borrow your phone? And it was my first thing I Googled, how to make a girl squirt. And she's like, ew, why?
You know what? Let's make that the episode title, how to make a girl squirt. And we're going to give them the payoff right now, because you're going to explain how to do it.
See, that's where the socks come in. Because they have to, because not, okay, so I've only made like probably like 3 or 4 girls squirt. I found that it's like, they have to be, number one, very relaxed and comfortable and know that they can do it, because I guess like if they can't do it with themselves, or if they, if it's like one, I've made a couple girls squirt for the first time ever and they're being like confused. Because I guess like, it feels like they're about to pee or something like that's going on. But I think it's like so hot. If a girl squirts or like anything comes out, like that's lit. Like I know I'm doing the right thing. But I usually just, there's like a pressure point, like 3 fingers underneath their belly button. I was reading up on Chinese medicine, and if you push down on there, it will like push, number one, put pressure on their walls on the inside when you're fingering them and you hit their G-spot. But also women build up a lot of stress. I don't know how true this is, but build up a lot of stress, and it comes to that point there. So once you like massage that a little bit, it like relaxes everything a little bit more and lets the blood flow a little bit better. And then usually I just try and like work on that G-spot and make sure they're, number one, like most importantly, like relaxed and like ready. I've only made a couple girls squirt from like having sex, which is usually just foreplay, like just sitting there and putting in the patience and the time. Cause I find that like when I was younger, I just didn't have any patience. I'm like, shit, like I eat her after a little bit, like finger her for a bit, then I need to fuck her. But like now I'm like, well, you're in my room, like we're seeing each other. I know that like, it doesn't need to be sex. Like I can just go through and, you know, just like take my time with you.
Where do the socks come in though?
Because like you want to keep them like comfortable and like their feet warm, and it's like they haven't, because like look, who's gonna come with cold feet? No
one's gonna squirt with cold feet.
Yeah,
I dare you to find somebody.
I'm gonna be like, look, like, hey, can I just put these ice on your feet real quick while I finger you? Like, is that okay? They'll be like confused.
So it's to create this like warm, relaxed, inviting environment where you can just let go of everything.
Yeah, and also like, don't be afraid of the sex toys. They are a game changer. Lads, if you're listening, like, buy a vibrator. Like, don't even be afraid of that shit. Like, hit her from the back, put the vibrator underneath, like, make her legs shake. Like, it's life-changing. Like, I don't know why guys are scared of vibrators or sex toys. Because scientifically designed to make your girl come. Let's go. Double down. Put your dick in and then have it. Mwah, blimissio.
I was actually going to bring you a bunch of sex toys today, but I completely forgot. Yeah.
I have a whole drawer of like $2,000 or
$3,000. Do you have the
worth.
Necklace, the vibrator necklace?
I was going to buy one from Saint Laurent.
That would so suit you, I feel like, because it's a tool of pleasure. And I feel like women would look at that and be like, what is that? You would just say nothing but turn it on, and they would just know that you bowed about it.
Well, I need that. I need that.
That's awesome. You got a lot going on, Harry. So thank you for having me. This was awesome.
thank you so much for coming. This has been crazy. Where can everyone find you if they're looking for you, if they need a little bit more help?
I feel like you get one wish when it comes to podcasts. Yeah. And I wrote a book that's called The Game of Desire. Yeah. And it is the best work that I've ever done in my life. You can actually get it for free on Audible. I read it. So if you enjoyed my voice during this podcast.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to put a link to it in the comments.
Yeah, thank you. I also read the audiobook as well, too. And if you sign up for Audible, you can get a free audiobook. So use mine, get that free. Enjoy your life.
Wow.
And keep coming back here.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for tapping in. Make sure you give it 5 stars. If you did enjoy this, please follow my girl over here. Check out her book and everything like that. This has been very eye-opening, very awesome. It's so good to catch up with you. Thank you so much.
This is a great tutorial on how to squirt.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow.